Hello and welcome to Are You Well? We have been discussing the wisdom of Ayurveda, an ancient Indian healing tradition of health, how we can apply that into our modern day lives. The beauty of Ayurveda is that it not only has persisted as a tradition, wherein it's been practiced and passed on from generation to generations, but it also has been recorded, has been written as textbooks, perhaps one of the most ancient medical textbooks in human history, dating back to some written as back as the 1st century BC. Observing nature, observing human health, and trying and understanding the relationship between humans and nature and how we can change our health and well-being by improving our everyday lifestyle, by looking at food, by looking at everyday routines that can have a positive impact on our health. So in this series, we have looked at the importance of gut health, daily routine, how we can use spices, and even such things as why and how much of exercising is important to keep us healthy and well. Today, I'm going to be looking at another very important and an interesting aspect of our lifestyle, which is to adapt our daily routine to the changing seasons. As most of you will have noticed that seasons, especially as they change from autumn to summer, summer to spring and to winter, how it is going to bring up a lot of changes in our appetite, in our sleep patterns, in our energy levels. So like in the last week or so, the temperatures have been so high in London, which is unusual. And it's been so warm that many of us must have felt the effect of that intense heat on our energy levels, also our appetite. But why do these changes happen in our body? And should we really change the way we eat, the way we organize our routine? Yes, of course, to adjust with high temperatures or low temperatures, we might keep ourselves cool or we might make ourselves warm, but how do we really understand why those changes in the weather or in our environment has an impact on our body? From an Ayurvedic perspective, Ayurveda looks at every living being or every living organism is influenced by the movement of the planet, our planet Earth around the sun. The closer our planet is to the sun, there will be more of energy that we give away, and the further our planet is to the sun, then we are going to get more energy. I'm not talking about solar energy, but our own energy expenditure and our energy conservation. I'm sure like on a summer day, if you go for a 2 kilometers jog or run or sprint, you'll realize that it's a lot more strenuous than going for a jog or run on a much mild day. I mean, seriously, even going for a jog for about 2 kilometers in extreme winter is also energy consuming. So even if it is the same level of fitness, depending on how our environment is, our body conserves energy or spends energy differently. So the whole concept of how our planet goes around the sun and creates changes in all living beings is called Ritu in Sanskrit. Ritu simply means season. And a year is divided into two parts, where we give away our energy and where we receive energy. The part where we give away our energy is called Adhana in Sanskrit, which is where we are very close to the sun, and so we give away our energy. And there are seasons where we are away from the sun, where we receive energy, which is called Visarga, where actually our body can become nourished. I mean, this is quite easily noticeable. For instance, in winter, although we are more exposed to influenza, viruses and colds and coughs, yet we actually will have much greater appetite. Our ability to eat, our ability to digest food is far greater than in summer. In summer, generally our appetite and also our ability to digest food is low. And which, if you have listened to my previous episodes, will know that, you know, this ability to digest food and to transform our food into nutrients is dependent on the factor called Agni, or fire, or digestive fire. So Ayurveda tries and understands the degree of changes in our digestive capacity during various seasons. Ayurveda thinks that in summer, our Agni, or our digestive ability, is low, whereas in winter, it's really high. Hence why, in Ayurveda, you are encouraged to eat more moist, warm, dense, heavy foods during winter, and to eat more light, cooling, and easy to digest foods during summer. And of course, it's quite natural that during summer we feel more like having salads, whereas during winter we feel like having more kind of nourishing, rich soups. While both soups and salads are examples of foods which can easily be digested for those seasons. But often we don't feel like having a warm soup in summer day. And the other way around, we don't feel like having a salad in winter. Naturally, of course, it's not to say that we can't have them, but usually we don't feel like having them. So it's the two things. Along with our digestive capacity, we also need to look at our immunity. As in my previous episodes, I may have introduced to you to the concept of our immunity in Ayurveda is almost compared to our strength. Strength in Sanskrit is bala, B-A-L-A. And bala refers to our physical strength, our mental strength, our immune strength, also the strength of our digestive system and every tissue system. So if we consider any season, it's important to see how is our Agni, which is our digestive capacity, and how is our bala, which is our immunity or our strength. So let's take the example of summer, which is what we are going through. Our Agni, our digestive capacity in summer, is low, whereas our immunity or immune strength in summer actually is high. It is good. Let's compare it with winter. In winter, it's the opposite. Our digestive ability, our Agni, is high, whereas our bala, or our strength, our immune system, will be weaker, or the strength of the immune system is low during winter. So what becomes our responsibility then is to eat according to our Agni and to support our immunity. So most of the principles that Ayurveda shares in living according to seasons is by adjusting our nutritional choices and lifestyle choices to give the best to support our immunity and to support our digestive capacity. So let's now talk about summer. So in summer, our digestive capacity is low. Therefore, we need to eat foods which is going to support and respect our naturally low digestive capacity. And our immune system or immunity is good or has high strength, therefore, to really get the benefits of having good, high, strong immunity during summer. I'm talking about most people, you know, who are generally healthy and not having an immune condition or an immunity-related condition. But even in those who have naturally immune suppression or autoimmune conditions, during summer, the tendency to actually have a proper immune response will be greater. Let's take the examples of rheumatoid arthritis. So those who are suffering from rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune condition, the joints become swollen. Usually the joints are swollen and painful not throughout the year, but it's in cycles. So in some seasons, it's worse than others. So in winter, the pains of rheumatoid arthritis can be severe and the inflammation can be severe, whereas the pain and inflammation is much lower in summer, generally, compared to winter. So this indicates that even in those where there is an immune dysregulation or disturbance, and yet during summer, the immune response will be much better than during winter. So the other aspect that Ayurveda always looks at is which of the three factors, the bioenergetic forces, which are called Vata, Pitta and Kapha, that play an important role in any season. Vata, as we have looked at in previous episodes, is a representation of air and ether, and Pitta is a representation of fire and water, and Kapha is a representation of earth and water. So the more hot, sharp features are found or linked to Pitta, the more cold and rough and dry features are linked to Vata, and the more heavy and moist features or solid features are linked to Kapha. So what do you expect in summer, where the temperature is high, the sun is shining, and there's more light, the daylight is much longer, the sun set is much later, sun rise is much earlier than other seasons? Obviously, these are very akin to the features of Pitta, fire. So fire seems to be the key feature. So from an Ayurvedic perspective, you are going to do everything to keep this fire or Pitta in a state of balance, not to aggravate it, but to pacify it, to cool it. And you are going to use your natural high strength or immunity during summer, and you are going to not trouble your digestive system or digestive capacity, which tends to be low. So once we understand all seasons from these three perspectives in Ayurveda, we can take decisions about our lifestyle, our nutrition, to suit those key features of the seasons. So what are the principles of Ayurvedic lifestyle during summer? So our aim is to strengthen the Agni, which is low, to pacify Pitta, which is generally high, and therefore what we want to do is use cooling spices like coriander and fennel. One of the things that we can do is often we go and reach out for ice drinks, fizzy drinks to cool ourselves. Instead, we know that the more you drink fizzy drinks, it's likely that, you know, you are also drinking sugary fizzy drinks, which is not really helpful. Or even having too much of ice cold water, if you do that too repeatedly, it actually can result in developing a bit of sore throat. In my own case, I generally don't, or I'm not used to drinking too much of ice cold water, but in the last few weeks, I have been drinking water which has been kept in the fridge, or adding some ice cubes to water because it's been intensely hot. But then I notice that keeping the fan on during night times, having these cold drinks, and it's quite hot outside, I start to see that there is a bit of a swelling in my glands, like in my throat. And then there is that congestion, a feeling of that heaviness in the head. So instead of really always going for iced cold waters, it is good to use spices which are cooling in nature. For example, coriander and fennel. What can you do? You just take about a teaspoon of coriander and a teaspoon of fennel. You don't have to dry roast them. If you want to get that kind of nutty flavor, you always can use a pan, turn the heat on, add a few teaspoons of coriander seeds and few teaspoons of fennel seeds, and just kind of gently dry roast them. Don't burn them. You don't want burnt spices. And then, you know, you don't have to always dry roast them, but it gives that kind of nice nutty flavor. Then you are going to crush it in a pestle and mortar. It's always good to invest in a good pestle and mortar, which is not like a pestle and mortar, which is just to mix powders, but actually to pound these spices. So it is quite strong, made of stone, usually granite. Or even marble would be good. So, you know, if you find one of these things in your home or on your travels, just collect it. And then that can be a very useful kitchen tool when you are thinking of using your kitchen for making these home remedies or using spices. So you crush these spices, coriander and fennel. And then you take about like let's say a teaspoon for a glass, much like making ginger tea or any other tea, a teaspoon of a mixture of coriander, fennel seeds, and then you boil water, you pour the water like about a glass, 250 milliliters, and then you let it brew for about 3 to 4 minutes, depending on how strong you want. If you let it brew for about 2-3 minutes, then you've got nice flavor. If you let it brew for about 5-6 minutes, you've got a stronger version of it. And then you can decant it or serve it. So you've got this nice, cool coriander and fennel tea. And this, you can drink it once or twice daily. A better idea would be actually to prepare your entire day's water by using coriander and fennel. And what's the best way to do this? Is to boil water, have a jug, and where you will have added about a teaspoon of coriander seeds, ground coriander seeds, a teaspoon of fennel seeds, and then you fill the jug with hot water. And then you let it sit overnight, and then this is going to brew all night, and in the morning it will have become cold, of course, and all the phytonutrients in coriander and fennel would have acted with the water. So obviously it becomes a little bit bitter, a little bit stronger, not so bitter, but has a typical taste of coriander and fennel. And you can either, you know, drink it neat, or you can dilute it with more water and drink it throughout the day. So this way you can use coriander and fennel seeds during summer to keep your system cool. And you will notice that you will feel a lot more comfortable in your body, especially when the temperatures are very high outside. The other important aspect is to avoid foods which are going to overheat us. And I know that during times when we were still able to travel, like let's say a holiday in Italy or Spain during summer from London, then what do? We kind of eat local foods, which are fantastic, but then sometimes there can be excess use of garlic in these recipes. But if you are at home, you are not eating out, of course you can control it, is really to reduce the amount of garlic that you use during summer. Garlic is a fantastic antimicrobial, no doubt about it. It also helps in chelating or excreting heavy metals. And, you know, we can't underestimate the importance of using something like garlic to excrete heavy metals, as often we are exposed to heavy metals from the way how our food is grown, the how, you know, our food, they travel from hundreds and thousands of miles apart, and then they end up in various systems, and then we are exposed to fumes. So it is very, very unlikely that anyone today is not exposed to heavy metals, even if they are within the reference ranges. But any amount of heavy metal, as any doctor or scientist would say, is not acceptable or is a stress on the body. Therefore, using garlic from time to time or regularly is quite a good habit to keep the heavy metal load or heavy metal stress on the body low. However, during summer, because garlic is very heating, the more garlic we use, it actually kind of stimulates that sweat glands. and already we could be sweating due to the external heat. And then to encourage internally by using something like garlic in excess, which opens up the skin pores and starts to stimulate sweating, can make one uncomfortable. So it's not because garlic is unhealthy, it's only because it really has that ability to open up the sweat glands and increase our tendency to sweat. Not all of us sweat equally always, you know, some of us sweat very little. For instance, you know, if you have a more Vata personality where the skin tends to be dry, like in my case, like I don't sweat too much because I think I have more of a Vata type skin, which is dry. Whereas if you are more Pitta, which is where you have more like slightly oily skin or a skin that's very sensitive to any change in temperature, particularly hot weather, then that your skin starts to sweat more. So it's also about understanding. Whereas if you are more a Kapha person, although you may have a very oily skin, really oily skin, but you don't necessarily sweat too much. So it's usually the Pitta individuals who sweat a lot, Vatas who have difficulty sweating because the skin is dry, whereas Kaphas usually, although with good oily skin, they don't sweat as much as Pittas do, or they don't sweat too much, because the common quality between a Vata skin and Kapha skin is both are cold. But Vata skin is dry and Kapha skin is oily. Whereas Pitta is slightly oily and also it is very highly sensitive to temperature, so sweats a lot. So if you are particularly of Pitta nature, then don't use too much garlic in your cooking during summer. And what are all the other spices that you think, you know, are really heating? Mustard. Okay, generally, you know, mustard or mustard seeds is not used as a spice in excess, at least in this part of the world. However, like mustard as a sauce can be quite commonly used. And I would say that to reduce the use of mustard, whether as a spice or even as a mustard sauce, would be a good idea during summer, because that's also very heating. That's why, you know, like in seasons like winter, if you use more of mustard and garlic, then that it really gives you that warmth and keeps your internal heater quite effective and efficient. So there are times and places and seasons to use our favorite spices. So your summer should be really featuring coriander and fennel, and put garlic and mustard to the back of your cupboard so that you don't reach out for it, because it can aggravate the response to the excess heat in summer.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, summer is one time when we also tend to meet our friends and family to have nice day out, sitting in the garden or in the park, or have barbecues, which is very common. While, yes, so it is an occasion to socialize, to be happy. Often our concept of socializing and happiness tends to become excessive use of alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong in having a couple of drinks, which are nice, but to excessively use alcohol during summer can be problematic. Excessive use of alcohol anytime is problematic, but excessively using alcohol during summer, again, can result in these kind of discomfort that you feel in your body. And also you're stressing your liver, and your liver, which already from an Ayurvedic perspective is a pitta organ, which is an organ which really is quite fiery because it's constantly detoxing. Its main duty is to detox everything, not just toxins, because literally every food that we eat comes with nutrients and potential toxins. So liver has to detox everything. On top of it, if our digestive capacity during summer is low, for instance, even the capacity of liver would be, from an Ayurvedic perspective, lower than its capacity during winter. Therefore, you don't want to stress the liver. Obviously, everyone knows that what stresses the liver most is alcohol, or one of the most commonly known substances that stresses our liver is alcohol. So to not excessively do alcohol during summer. Instead, to kind of have different recipes of preparing water, you know, what I would suggest is if you are having alcohol, then try and dilute it. You know, there's nothing wrong in diluting your red wine or even white wine, if you prefer more white wine during summer, with water, so that you actually are not going to drink too much and also you are diluting it. Of course, it's not a traditional idea to dilute wine, which probably some of you might think is a disgusting idea to dilute wine. But, you know, if you are at home, if you are with friends, nobody's going to judge you. But if you tell them, you know, I don't want to kind of have excess alcohol, I want to cool my system, support my liver, they won't mind if you say I'm adding a little bit of water to my wine. They might even actually pick up on your habit and then start doing it. I mean, this is how we learn habits. We look at someone else who's doing it and then we do it. And then it just becomes a common practice. So why not dilute your alcohol during summer and drink it? I mean, obviously, you know, this is where, you know, probably I think cocktails are much better, because then there's so much of water content in it. There's ice cubes, which in summer kind of starts to get dissolved. And then so it is a diluted version. So, yeah. Just these simple things can help us keep ourselves comfortable and also support our digestive system. And drink pure water. Pure water is something that we would need to emphasize all the time. However, you know, in cities like London, where we have been told that drinking tap water is fine, we tend to drink tap water because it's drink-worthy. However, we must also understand that if we can further purify our water using a proper filter, it would be really very helpful so that we purify water, and then this purified water is something that you can drink. Like, always use a filter wherever possible. And this is something which may not go down very well. The next thing I'm going to say is that during summer, it is good to reduce the amount of seafood. Clearly, in those times when we had the opportunity to travel quite easily, one of the highlights of summer would have been having seafood. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have seafood. What I'm saying is do not make it the most predominant feature of your everyday eating, because while seafood is fantastic, I mean, absolutely, we need seafood. If you eat fish, of course, you know, you're going to get the benefit of omega-3s, which is a powerful anti-inflammatory and an antioxidant. And seafood, you know, it's good protein, it's less in calories, and when it is prepared properly without batter, you know, just like simply, you know, baking fish or cooking fish with a little bit of oil and lime juice, it's one of the most delicious and healthy foods that you can have, with salad and with vegetables. However, if we go on like a seafood banquet every weekend and have lots of different kinds of shellfish and clams and squid and calamari and all other kinds of fatty fish all together and eat a lot. This also can, from an Ayurvedic perspective, increase your pitta or increase the heating qualities. Therefore, it is good not to have too much of seafood, or at least mix too many different seafood and have it in excess too repeatedly. I always would say that, you know, the best way to eat what we like, what is seasonal, also is like a day on and 2 days off. Because, you know, if we do 1 day on, 2 days off, then we are actually rotating these foods. And you will probably know that, you know, those who are aware of food intolerances, generally our food intolerances are of two types. One is true allergies, where these are called IgE allergies, where one will have a severe reaction to a food, where they can actually go into anaphylaxis. Now, for instance, some have allergy to nuts like peanuts or cashews, and they can actually start to develop these swollen lips, the heart rate goes up, the eyes become red, and they can even start fainting, so developing these rashes and hives, which most of the cases one would have known, and then they would be very careful about these foods to which they are allergic. Most of the times we are allergic to a certain protein in these foods. Whereas there's another kind of allergy, which is late onset allergy. And late onset allergy can occur hours after, days after one has eaten a food. And these are called IgG allergies. They're not true allergies, they are food intolerances. And today you can also get these IgG allergy test done if you have continuous problem with certain foods. However, you know, in general, if we practice any food that we really like a day on and 2 days off, we are actually rotating. And by these 2 days off, it actually helps the gut mucosa to not be exposed to the same kind of trigger for continuously. When we are exposed to the same kind of trigger continuously, that's when our immune system becomes alerted and starts to have an exaggerated response to those foods. But if we give 2 days off, then that our immune system actually regulates itself. So that's the reason why, you know, during summer, like I am saying that, you know, don't overdo your seafoods, but do it moderately. Like, you know, like alcohol, again, don't overdo it. Do it really moderately and drink respectfully. And what can you use which really helps in summer? Or lemons. Like, always buy a bag of lemons or lime. I usually prefer a combination of lemon and lime, and then just slice it, put it in the jug, put it in your water, use it in your food, just squeeze a little bit of lime or lemon onto your food, onto your salads, everything. So it actually has that alkalinizing effect. While it is acidic, it has an alkalinizing effect later, particularly having this lemon-flavored, lime-flavored, not flavored as an artificial flavor, where you slice lime and lemon and put it in water, and then you're going to use that water to drink, then that is going to give you that kind of satiation. It is refreshing, it's good on your gut, it cools your system down. So using lemon can be very, very helpful, or limes for that matter, during summer. Again, you know, avoid eating too much of, I mean, when I say avoid, I mean reduce, yeah, reduce the amount of chilies you might eat, or even raw onions, because raw onions are also very heating, and so are chilies. And, you know, chilies particularly, they come from a family called Solanaceae. And Solanaceae is called nightshades. It is in the same family as potatoes, tomatoes, peppers and aubergines. And some of us may actually have an inflammatory response to these foods because they can cause inflammation, not all of us. So if you are aware of reacting badly to nightshades, then it is also good to reduce the amount of chilies that you eat, because chilies, paprika, cayenne pepper, they're all from the same family and they are nightshades. And I'm sure, you know, if you have the experience of suddenly, you know, having sweats or sometimes like hot flashes, one of the things that one would avoid is really to not have too many chilies. So reducing the amount of chilies, reducing raw onions will also greatly help. You know, what might help is to get into the practice of eating apples or having some dates. Don't have too many dates, because, you know, dates are very high in fructose, very high in sugars, which is okay if you're physically very active and if you're non-diabetic or if you don't have a tendency to develop diabetes. But otherwise, you know, eating too many dates, even if they're natural sugars, is not so such a good idea. But dates, nevertheless, are very good. I mean, that's why, you know, you can find dates which grow in these really hot deserts, you know, like the Middle East, and where you get the best dates, because nature has created those foods which can counteract the effect of the climate or the environment where one lives. So dates, you know, like particularly if you soak dates in cold water or even in hot water, and then it becomes softened and you remove the seeds, and this kind of dates mixed with water, if you add more water, it can be a very nice sweet drink. In fact, you can use it in your porridge, you can use it with your food. A little bit of, you know, date and water would be really good during summers particularly. And, you know, eat a light meal. Every meal, you know, can be a light meal to not have very fatty, rich, lots of breadcrumbs or battered food. Eat something which is freshly cooked and light food.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Reducing eating certain types of meats is also a good thing to do during summer. For instance, you know, reducing the consumption of pork. For one, that particularly, you know, bacon, you know, it's highly preserved. There are chemicals that are added to maintain the color, which generally is not such a good idea to have them or too much of it anyway. But if you start to consume meats, you know, which are heavy, like pork, and also sometimes even lamb, you know, like red meats during summer, it can, from an Ayurvedic perspective, have that kind of excessively heating effect, and which would increase your pitta and therefore not really be very helpful in summer. So really to go for the more white meat, like chicken or turkey, if you are eating meat. But generally, it's a good idea to keep your summer more plant-based. A lot of whole foods, a lot of whole food and plant-based diet, because particularly these plant-based foods, green leafy vegetables like broccoli or spinach or beans or runner beans, they have very high fiber content in them. Also, you know, like vegetables like cauliflower, cabbage, they have such high fiber content. They really help in one, feeding the gut microbiome so that healthy gut microbiome can be formed. And they also help in reducing any possible inflammation because of a gut microbial disturbance. So getting into the practice of making most of your diet plant-based, like about 70%, I would say. The best way to achieve this is not really that you need to plan the percentages, but with every animal protein that you have, if you always make sure that there is plenty of green vegetables on your plate when you are having your meal during summer, that will help in achieving this requirement of having more fibrous food, phytonutrient foods during summer. And the use of ghee can be quite helpful. It's interesting that, you know, there are different kinds of fats. We have a short chain, medium chain, long chain fatty acids. Some are monounsaturated, some are polyunsaturated, some are saturated. Like the more polyunsaturated fats, these are like the seeds, like sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. And in fact, you can have sunflower seed, pumpkin seeds, as much as you can. In summer, these are very helpful. You can also have seed butters. And it's equally important to have some saturated fat, but in really small quantities. And the saturated fats are like ghee. Ghee is clarified butter. And I would say best is if you can make ghee at home. Many are nowadays aware of ghee. And also ghee is very easily available in supermarkets, but be careful about buying ghee from supermarkets, because it is known that they use palm oil and other additives or adulterants to make ghee, which are available in supermarkets. So you have to be very careful about choosing what kind of ghee that you are buying. So it's not difficult to make ghee at home at all. The best is, you know, buy unsalted butter for about 500 grams of unsalted butter. You just take a clean, dry saucepan and you start to melt this butter on low heat, and then you will see that when the water content in the butter all evaporates, it makes that kind of hissing noise. And then all the water evaporates, and then you have this kind of clear golden liquid. Basically, it's clarified butter. And this clear golden liquid is what you call ghee. It's very easy to make. It doesn't take more than 20-25 minutes from beginning to end to make a good batch of ghee. Why not make a liter of ghee or a kg of ghee and store it, because that will last for a very long time. And ghee that's been made properly without really contaminating it with any moisture, it will stay at room temperature on kitchen bench or in your kitchen cupboard, believe me, for years, and it will still be fresh. It will still be good. An Ayurvedic tip is the older the ghee, the better it is. So it would be a great project for you to do in summer. is really to start preparing your own ghee. Well, you can also add some additional benefits to ghee by also adding, let's say, when you are clarifying the butter, for about 500 grams of butter, by adding about half a teaspoon or even a teaspoon of turmeric powder and half a teaspoon of finely ground cumin powder and maybe half or a quarter teaspoon of ginger powder. So if you have cumin powder, ginger powder, turmeric powder, that's already mixed into your ghee. When you are making ghee, then this can be a spiced ghee, which will be delicious because it kind of cuts through that fattiness or the fat-rich flavor of ghee and gives you that kind of nutty, spicy feel to your ghee, which again is very good for your digestion if you do it this way. So try making ghee at home. Try and also spice it up with a little bit of ginger, turmeric, and cumin. My other favorite spice to add to ghee is really fenugreek. Fenugreek, we don't necessarily use fenugreek very often in Western cooking. But if you just get fenugreek seeds, and then it's easily available in spice shops, and then again dry roast it. Always it's good to dry roast spices to get rid of any of excess moisture, especially if you're using it with something like making ghee. And also it gives a nutty flavor. So dry roast fenugreek. Again, a good pestle and mortar. Powder it nicely, or you can use an electric blender. You need to really have a strong blender because you need strong blades to kind of build the spices. I sometimes feel that, you know, if you buy these grinders for coffee beans, there are very powerful ones. You can use the same for also milling spices. And especially when you dry roast them, they actually become quite good for further powdering them. And, you know, to your turmeric, which is, let's say, half a teaspoon and half a teaspoon of cumin, quarter teaspoon of ginger powder, and you can add about half a teaspoon of fenugreek powder while you are preparing your ghee. Don't add it straight at the beginning of when you are clarifying the butter. When all the butter has melted and you see that some of the water content has evaporated, then you need to add these spices. And also, it has to be really on a low heat, because spices, if they settle at the bottom, it starts to burn. Then it's not a good idea. So it's quite tricky to have ghee with spices which are not burnt. So you can use it as a project and try it out. But if you're not confident yet as adding spices while clarifying butter, just go with simply clarified butter and make plain ghee. But you have the option of either making it spiced ghee or simple ghee. And particularly fenugreek is very cooling. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's really alkalinizing. And this ghee you can use either for cooking or just to make, you know, some salad dressing. And don't ever kind of refrigerate your ghee. One, it's unnecessary. Secondly, you know, you're putting it in a place which is moist, so it can develop fungus. So always good to keep your jar of ghee, preferably in a glass bottle, always a glass bottle. Try and avoid using any plastic for storing spices, for storing your food, because the plastic, especially in hot weather, can leach into the food and can act as a hormone disruptors. You don't want that. So store your ghee on the kitchen bench. You can use a teaspoon of ghee in your cooking per day. I mean, you can use a little bit more as well. But because it's a saturated fat, you really want to not overdo ghee. But ghee is very cooling, and ghee is also very helpful in increasing our digestive capacity, or agni. It reduces inflammation. So use of ghee and some of these spices particularly are quite helpful during summer, through all seasons, but definitely during summer. You can also use coconut oil in cooking. You know, I tend to use coconut oil in cooking from time to time. Again, I like to vary the oils that I use for cooking, not to be exposed to the same risk and to get the benefits from different kind of fats, like using avocado oil, coconut oil, ghee, and sesame. But it's good to use more cooling ones. Like coconut oil is really cooling, and that's a good oil to use for cooking during summer. And now, coming to the topic of nuts. Can you have nuts? Of course you can have nuts any season, but it's choosing the kinds of nuts. See, certain nuts are very heating. For instance, Brazil nuts or macadamia nuts are very heating. And so try and reduce the amount of consuming such heating nuts. Whereas, you know, almonds are very good. And one of the good ways to have almonds is to soak almonds. To soak almonds in hot water, to remove the skin, and then to just like kind of use the dehusked almonds, which really become soft and nice, and they are very good. And clearly, if possible, try and avoid eating too much of peanuts. One, peanuts are quite inflammatory. They can actually produce allergies. And peanuts, especially they come as salted and with vinegar, and you know, not necessarily such a great idea in summer where you have too much of salt, too much of peanuts, because it can overheat you. A good practice would be to prepare buttermilk. It's very easy. What you do is you just take about a part or one part, you know, by measure, or let's say 1 cup of naturally set whole fat yogurt. And then to that you add about 4 parts or even 5 parts of water. You blend it through. In fact, you can whiz it through a blender, and you can add like a tiny bit or a pinch too of cumin powder. You can also, you know, kind of just drop some mint leaves, or you can even you know, blend it with a few mint leaves, and you can have a pinch of Himalayan salt, the Himalayan pink salt, and that you can have as buttermilk, particularly in the afternoons when it's so hot. And buttermilk, because it is really good for the gut microbiome, would be not only just cooling, but also helps in keeping the gut in a healthy state. So, and finally, I would say, do not do too much of sunbathing when the sun is very intense, because then you will then have to manage sunburn and sunstrokes, which can become problematic. And try and use aloe vera gel or aloe vera juice even for drinking. So these are the ways how we can look after ourselves during summer. And thank you for listening to Are You Well? I will try and share the wisdom of Ayurveda, how we can use that in our modern day practice, in every of these episodes of Are You Well? And hope to see you all next time, when there'll be another episode of Are You Well? Thank you.